following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, you're going to have to open up your Bible tonight, and we're going to be moving around in the Word of God a bit this evening as we continue our study through life in the Spirit. And I'm not going to promise you when we're going to be done with this. I just feel like there's more to be said, and we really need to. I think I said on the radio yesterday, we're going to be diving into the gifts of the Spirit. Don't know whether we're going to get there tonight, but next week we will as we continue on through and define as much as we can define what these gifts of the Spirit are all about that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians and Peter speaks about in a very, very different way. But are they something that just sort of, boom, take over us and we didn't see it coming? And we'll talk about that as we get into that next week. But this evening, did you find that? I think it's going to say Holy Spirit 10, if you can find it there. I put it up on the, but if we don't get there, I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of these passages that we're going to look up. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And then get a pen ready, because if it's not up on the screen, it should be. It should say Holy Spirit. It might say Holy Spirit 10 or 12. If not, that's okay. But I'm going to give you a list of passages that I want you to write down. We're going to kind of bounce off most of them tonight, but you want to go home and read these in greater detail. So, would you stand with me as we read just this first part? One verse out of the middle of a passage. Don't lose your place in Ephesians 5, because we're going to come back to it. I'm going to ask you to read it out loud with me. Verse 18. Here we go. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. One more time. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to talk to somebody that's beside you? You want to? I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. Look them in the eyes and say, don't be drunk. Say, be filled. Now look back and say, be filled, be filled. Father, that's what we want. We want to be filled with your Spirit, Lord, in a way that doesn't just give us goosebumps. It doesn't just give us an emotional charge, but it sends us into a broken world. Whether we have shoeboxes in hand or a guitar in hand, your Bible in hand, it sends us into a broken world, Lord, equipped by you to make a powerful difference in the lives of those we meet. So, Father, be with us tonight as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. If you need a title tonight, I've given this message the title, Just Ask. Just ask and receive. Now, jot down these references. We're going to be moving to them. Isaiah 44. I'll just give you the chapter to begin with. Isaiah 44. Ezekiel 36. John chapter 7. Luke chapter 11. We're only going to be here tonight till 11 p.m. Luke 11. Acts 19, and then we'll land right back in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, we have been lingering in this study of pneumatology. Do you know what that is? You know what pneumatology is? We've been in this for over 3 months. Pneumatology, does it sound like a new field of medicine? Maybe a new, better way to make pizza? I don't know what it sounds like to you, but pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. It's a theology of the Spirit, and we've been in this for about 5 months as we're hopefully digging deeper and deeper, and more than anything, I hope that expectations are rising in your heart that God really wants to use you. You know, a life in Jesus is a whole lot more exciting than coming in here to listen to me, because he wants you to be just as filled as he wants me to be. So that as we encounter people in this very real and very hurting world, we can make a difference in his name. And that has so much to do with this walk in the Spirit. But do you know it's possible to have a very, very robust understanding of the Bible itself and all that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and not have, along with the understanding from Scripture, a matching relationship, fellowship, partnership, and personal experience with the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely possible, that you can know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit and yet not find yourself walking with the Holy Spirit and leaning on the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. There are people, let me give you an illustration. I've been to Israel a bunch of times, but there are people who know far more about the history and the geography and the politics and the culture of Israel because they've studied it from a book. But they've never gotten on a plane. I would suggest something other than Turkish Air, but they've never gotten on a plane and flown the 15 hours to get there and get their feet on the ground. But they're walking encyclopedias, but they've never been there. Another illustration, half of the fans who are going to fill up Angel Stadium this baseball season know way more about baseball than the guys on the field, don't they? Oh, and they'll let you know if they make a mistake on the field because they've studied it and they know the numbers and all that. At least they think they know more. Well, in the same way, there are many theological experts who have the Holy Spirit all figured out. And they, or at least they think they do, but they've never opened themselves up to be filled and empowered and directed and sent by this person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. They've never, in a very focused way, say, okay, Lord, I'm open. Fill me and then use me and send me. And most of us don't need a passport to go where the Holy Spirit's going to send us. Because he might just send us around the corner. He might just send us to the person next door to us. But he's longing to fill us. Now, I want to read a little bit of scripture, a good bit of scripture, I should say, that highlights the fact that God intends for us to be filled with his Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Back up in your Bibles just a little bit. And it's interesting that this study on Wednesday nights, it's really kind of running right alongside our study on the weekends in the book of Acts. And that's why we're going to continue to be referencing the book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 19, in verse 1, Paul has been traveling around. He's been in Corinth, and now he's heading back to Jerusalem. And he tells us what route he takes. To follow me here in verse 1 of chapter 19. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul left him behind to continue to pastor the church and teach and lead there, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, now that's kind of the land bridge that goes across from Greece and Macedonia and heads over. He would have had to cross the water somewhere, but he's heading back into what we would call Turkey today, Asia Minor, that he came through the upper regions and he came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is a classic passage. And so they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. By the way, these are most likely Gentile believers because it's a Gentile land. And certainly there were Jews up in there too, but it's very possible that these were Gentile believers. And they said, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And so they said, well, into John's baptism. And then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, pause there for a second. These people had believed in Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. But whoever had witnessed to them, whoever had brought them into the family of God, didn't continue to give them an education as relates to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the necessity of the Holy Spirit, and the possibility of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so Paul asks the question, so something, what's he saying? Something's missing here. And he's telling them what? There's something more. I'm not going to say it's something better, but there's something more that you should be expecting. And that's stepping into this relationship with the Holy Spirit. This has nothing whatsoever to do with getting saved. It has everything to do with being empowered so you can be sent. You're saved so that God can send you. I don't know where God's going to send you. Some of you, you're going to have to get a passport. Some of you, you're going to have to get visas if they still, and I'm not talking about a Visa card or a MasterCard. You're going to have to get permission to enter the country that you want to go to or the region that God is going to send you to. Most of us, probably not. Joy and I said this when we came here. It would be, what an honor it would be if God would allow us to be used to help the congregation at what was then known as just Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach. We're still Calvary Chapel, but we go under the name Refuge. That what a beautiful thing it would be if we had to shut the building down because everybody was out on the mission field. That would be so beautiful. I don't think if that happened that we'd have to shut the doors, because I think God would continue to send more people in so we could send more people out to just be engaged in the work that he's doing around the world. And so Paul says to them, and I wish there were more backstory to this. He just says, there's something missing here, and there's something more for you, and there's nothing to be afraid of. And some of you think, oh, I don't know if it's nothing to be afraid of. I remember those churches that were all about Holy Ghost this and Holy Ghost that, and maybe you grew up in a place that was wild and maybe even weird or strange to you. And I'm sorry if that was the truth. It doesn't need to be that way. When a group of people or an individual says, oh God, I want to be used by you, filled with your spirit, so my life is a tool in your hand that you can plug in, a power tool in your hand, that you can plug in and reach people in the name of Jesus. And so there are theological experts who have the Holy Spirit all figured out, but they've never opened themselves up to be filled, as I said, empowered, and directed and used by Jesus and sent wherever he wants us to go. And so as Paul encounters these people, he says, oh, there's something more. What Paul said to that recent, those recent Ephesian converts is, oh, I want you to know there is power. There is power to live for Jesus and power to serve him. And it seems so simple what happens here in verse 5. Let me read it again. It says, when they heard this, they were baptized then in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now somebody is thinking, oh, here it comes. Okay, here it comes. We're going to speak in tongues tonight. Well, if God gives you that gift, and I have a gift. I mean, I operate in that in my own personal time of worship and prayer. And I've prayed for some of you when I didn't know how to pray for you, when I didn't know how to articulate what was in my heart. I will pray in the Spirit for you. And let me tell you, unless something changes, you know, in God's directives in my life, you will never hear me, because it's not about you hearing me. It's about me unloading the burden in my heart on your behalf as I pray for you, or as I pray for my friend Daryl. And just moving as God directs me to. But and I want to say this, that there are so many places in the book of Acts where you see God doing a new thing in a new place. And in all those places, you will not see all of them exercising that gift of tongues. That's not the litmus test on whether or not you are filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the litmus test? You shall receive what? Power. Dunamis, ability. You'll receive the power of God to be a witness for him. The real proof that the Holy Spirit is in our lives and has come upon us is that we become a tool of witness in his hands. Now, somebody pointed out recently, and I can't remember where I heard this, but Jesus never spoke in tongues. And I was thinking, well, he probably didn't need to, because he knew all the languages. He couldn't speak in an unknown language because he knew all of them. But you never see Jesus speaking in tongues. You see it in the church on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish congregation predominantly. I'm almost certain there would have been some Gentiles that said yes to Jesus at that same time. But this is a Gentile congregation. And the Spirit of God was going to be poured out on Jew and Gentile alike. How many Jewish people do we have in here? Anybody with Jewish blood? And the rest of you, you know what we are? We all Gentiles, every one of us. That's the only kind of people there are in the world, Jews and Gentiles. And the Spirit of God has been made available to all of us who are ready to serve Jesus with all that we have. And so maybe in your life and in your witness, your ministry, you feel like there's something missing. I want to pray tonight that maybe this would be the night that you just ask and you receive. And it might not come with you getting tingles all over as the Spirit comes upon you. But if you ask, and we're going to read this in a little bit, if you ask, I believe God wants to give that to you. And we'll get to that section in just a minute. So the same was true of the Holy Spirit in Old Testament times. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 44. I remember I had been a Christian for, I'm sure it was less than a month, in the fall of 1970. And I've told you, I got saved over here in Long Beach. I went along with a friend to a youth meeting in a Baptist church, and it was during the Jesus movement. And I heard the gospel that night, and I received Jesus Christ. And I had a couple of friends, Paul and Steve and Mark too, but Mark never went. Mark just never came along with us. But Paul and Steve and I would go to either Calvary Chapel, or this one night, his dad, Steve's dad, had invited me to go along with Steve and I think another one of his brothers to a place called Melody Land. Anybody remember Melody Land? And it was the name of the building before it was the name of the church that bought the place and moved in there, Ralph Wilkerson. And that was back in the late 60s. And as we're walking in, oh, I can remember this so vividly. We're parked in the parking lot, and we're walking up alongside of the building, and Steve's dad turned and he said, "Oh, Bill, I just want to let you know, watch out in here a little bit, because they might try to make you speak in tongues here tonight." And I thought, speak in what? And why? I had no idea even what that was all about. But you know what that did? That put up a barrier in my heart for a while. Until one evening, someone prayed for me, and they'd asked me, "Bill, have you been filled with the Spirit?" I said, I don't know. I want to be. I'm not sure." And they said, "Well, can I pray for you right now?" And we were driving along in a van. I mean, it sounds like something right out of the days, doesn't it? In a VW van. And they prayed, and I know that was the moment that I received the Holy Spirit. And I didn't speak in tongues, but I knew there was a difference in my witness at that point too. And I just, I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you mind me getting ahead of myself? I'll trip over my shoestrings if I get too far ahead of myself. But look over at chapter 44 in Isaiah. Let me start at verse 1. It says, "Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and O Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground." That's all imagery, floods and water, an imagery you're going to see in the Gospel of John as well for the Spirit. "And I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. And one will say, 'I'm the Lord's.' Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, 'The Lord's.'" I mean, it sounds like a revival. Someone will say, "I'm alive now. I belong to God now. I belong to Christ," and name himself by the name of Israel. Said, "I'll pour my Spirit out upon you," because that's what's missing. And speaking of a time of revival, move two books over to Ezekiel, to the right. Ezekiel 36. Verse 22. Those are all up there. I hope it's big enough for you to read. If not, that was my fault. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel," and by the way, when these prophets spoke to the house of Israel, what was true about the condition of the house of Israel in those days? They've got to send his prophets. things were upside down and backwards. There was a nation that was in rebellion, and when the nation became divided, where it was Israel in the north and it was Judah in the south, both those nations got in trouble. They were a divided nation. It was like north and south here in the U.S. for so many years. But they both got in trouble with God as he said, look, I'm going to change things in you and through you. But in verse 22 here, he says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, I do not do this for your sake. I love the way this portion starts. This isn't just for you, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, whom I have hallowed when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries. This is when he was bringing them back, and bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness. This is salvation, as a national salvation. I'll cleanse you from your idols. And this is verse 26 and 7. This is the point. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will pour my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, and you will do them, he said. It's almost exactly like what Paul would say about those who walk in the Spirit. They're the sons of God. You can tell they're related to God. Those who walk in the Spirit, who walk in what? In love and passion and power. It says you stand out as God's people when you walk that way. That something more that he was going to pour out was the Holy Spirit. It's what was missing. And then one day in Jerusalem, Jesus had something to say about that as well. Flip over to John chapter 7. It's a feast day. It's one of those extended holy holidays where the nation would gather together, and where Jesus stands up on the last day of this extended holiday, this feast, this religious festival. He says in verse 37, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out saying, would you read this with me, verse 37 and a half down to verse 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The same image of the water and the rivers that was spoken about back in the Old Testament prophets. It's the same substance. It's the Holy Spirit. If you're thirsty, he said, come to me and drink. That's a call to salvation. He says, but get ready, because I'm not going to let you keep what I pour into you all to yourself. Because out of you will gush rivers. I like the translation that says torrents. We've been seeing the torrents of rain. We've been watching. How many of you have been driven over the washes here, and you've seen the water running down after these massive rains? That's a torrent. Out of you will flow torrents of living water, rivers of it. Yeah, and I've said this many times, especially connected to this passage. I am not a pneumatologist. I am not a riverologist either. I don't know a whole lot about rivers. But I do know this, a river, that's a whole lot more water than I personally need. And even with Joy and I, and our two granddaughters, one of whom was singing tonight, and she was singing on Sunday morning as well, 21 and 20, four of us in the house, a river's a whole lot more water than we need. We're getting close to a river with our two granddaughters living with us too, but that's more water than I need, so what's the point? He says, I'm going to give you something that you best not keep to yourself, that you could be a conduit through whom my spirit will flow to those who are lost and those who are broken. Does that excite you, the possibility of just being like a conduit, this big culvert through which he wants to pour his spirit to reach people? I told you so many times about Brother Harold in Palm Springs. this old guy that was born at the turn of the century, 1899, is when he came to Jesus. And his favorite way of defining himself, he said, "I'm just Harold the Happy Hose. I just want to be a happy hose, sprinkling people with God's living water, full of his Spirit and overflowing with his Spirit." The big question is how do you enter into that something new, that something more relationship with the Holy Spirit? Turn to Luke chapter 11. The same story is recorded in the Sermon on the Mount, which, by the way, I don't think is a parallel passage to this sermon in Luke chapter 11. Jesus would take whatever Jesus preached one place, he'd preach it every place. He'd go from one synagogue to another, says he went to all the synagogues throughout Galilee, and he would tweak his message where it needed to be tweaked. And I love the way he tweaked it here, because what he says here in Luke chapter 11, right after he gives the what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is more like most preachers will say, that's really the disciples' pattern for prayer. But here's what he says after he sort of gives the amen, deliver us from the evil one. And everybody said, amen. He says this. And then he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing set before him. And he'll answer from within and say, don't trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to you because he is your friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so I say to you, read this with me, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Well, what will we find? What doors will be open? He goes on. It's right in context. And so he says, I want you to ask. I want you to ask. And then he says this, verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Answer, no. Say that like you mean it. No, of course not. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? What? No. If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Come on, man. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Of course not. Verse 13, let's read it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He gives salvation upon request as we turn from our sins and we turn to our Savior. And then we come to him as servants. As sons and daughters who want to be servants of our great God, Savior. And we say, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need your Spirit, the power of your Spirit, the gifts of your Spirit. And quite honestly, I don't know what gifts I need for tomorrow. Do you know what you're going to be confronted with? But I know he'll give me what I need. I know it'll be in my toolbox when I need it. And I know, and I pray that I'll be willing to just step out and step into it. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So tonight, I want to take a little time to pray and to ask as a congregation, and maybe to be praying for one another as well. But I noticed something this afternoon back in Ephesians chapter 5, and that's where we'll end. And we've got time. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 15. See then, now this is jumping right into the middle of something that Paul was saying, but we're going to kind of let it stand alone at this point. It'll make sense. He says, see that you walk circumspectly. That's a fancy word that means, you know, keep your eyes on what's going on around you. You know, don't walk blindly. Don't walk carelessly. Not as fools, but as wise. redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he's going to tell us. We read it earlier. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, watching your strength, watching your vision, watching your life dissipate as you give yourselves to a destructive substance in your life. So don't be drunk. Don't live in drunkenness. But here's the other option. Be filled with the Spirit. Not spirits, but the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Comma, not end of sentence. This is so interesting to me, where Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I know, men, your favorite verse is the next one. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. But what did he say before he said that? All of us submit to one another. Live in a relationship with one another where there's kindness and there's humility and there's attentiveness to other people's needs. Be submitted to one another. But did you see where this started? When he said, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. And then he talks to us about our worship, what we call our worship, what the Bible calls our praise, our songs, our psalms. I don't know about any of you, but I'll tell you, one of the most encouraging times of the week for me is when we gather and we lift up our voices. And I hear your voices and you hear my voice, and our voices mingle together. And there's something that so blesses our Father in heaven and our Savior and the Spirit who fills us and leads us in that. There's something powerful about that moment. I think it's something like, especially when it involves, like it says here, this thanksgiving. Paul, in how many of his letters does he say, don't stop giving thanks. Don't stop being grateful. Give thanks in the midst of anything in your life that God is still with you. It's such a powerful thing when we lift up our voices. And I don't want to target anybody. But I almost always feel compelled to say this when I say, come on, let's sing. And someone says, I don't sing. I'm not a good singer. It doesn't say let all the good singers sing. It says sing. Lift your praise, yes. Lift your voice to him because he deserves it. Because he calls us to. Because he wants you to. Because he wants you to enter your voice along with all of those angels that are praising him. Oh, man. So let's not let ourselves go silent in the presence of the Lord, whether we're alone or with someone, whether we're in the congregation or we're just driving down the freeway in our cars. Please don't close your eyes when you're driving down the street. You don't, and don't lift your hands. Keep the hands on the wheel, but lift your heart before him. One of the dynamics or evidences or arenas in which we encounter Holy Spirit's power and presence, and I think many times his direction too, and his filling and his healing, is in times of corporate singing and praise and worship. Really? Yes, really. You tell me. Don't you find that to be true? There's so a way that God touches us when we fill this place with praise to our God who loves us. Maybe you need to start here tonight and just ask. And like we read in John, just ask, oh Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit tonight? I don't know that I've ever opened myself to that before, Father, but would you fill me tonight with your Spirit? I want what's next. I want that something more. And again, it's not just something better. It's not like you're only half saved. Please don't think that. It's just, God, okay, I've known you for so long. I've walked with you, but I want to serve you. I want that torrent. I want that those rivers, those streams of blessing coming out of me, touching other people. Don't wait for the buzz. Just receive it. And then sing out and then step out and then speak out and then reach out. I'm going to lead you in a couple of songs that are pretty well known to all of us, I think. And invite you to, you can sit, stand, you can kneel if you want to, if you feel like you want to turn and pray for somebody who's beside you there. By the way, is there anybody in here tonight that would say, you know, this is hitting me. I want to be filled with the Spirit. You see the hands of anybody here tonight? Raise your hand up there. If you're saying, well, you know what? There's an awful lot of hands up in the air. And I'm going to encourage you as we're singing to just maybe, you know, put the hands up again, reach around so you can see whose hands are up in the air. And spend some time just as we're lifting up our praise to God to pray for one another. And just ask, oh God, let this be the moment. And so, Father, we do pray in Jesus' name that this would be a moment for so many of us tonight, Father. Where we're drawing closer with expectation, Lord. That you would pour out your Spirit over us. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. It's your intention as well.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry worthy, we cry worthy, worthy, worthy. We cry worthy, worthy, worthy. We cry worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And we cry glory, glory, glory. And we cry glory, glory, glory. We cry glory, glory, glory. We cry glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain and drink from the streams of life, and drink from the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away, be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, and we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, come. come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, and we sing, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Sing to Him. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Let the pain and the sorrow washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, and we sing, Holy Spirit, come.
Lifted to Him from a humble heart, from a grateful heart. As we sing to Him, we love You, Lord. Oh, it is music to heaven's ears as we lift our praise to Him. Just tell the Lord in your own words, I'm so ready, Lord. Lord, I'm ready to move to a more powerful place in my walk with You. Tell Him, whatever you need to let go of, Lord, I'm ready to let go of that, to line up with Your will for my life. He's ready to pour rivers of living water. He's the source of all of that renewal. Whether we're living in a time of revival, You can have a revival starting right now tonight. Let's sing to Him again.
I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, oh. rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Oh Lord, please light the fire.
Oh Lord, please light the fire that one bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Sang that line, replace the lamp of my first love that burned with holy fear. Some of us in this room, I really believe at that moment, we're looking back saying, yes, Lord, take me back to that first love. It was the church in Ephesus that we just read about in Acts chapter 19. It says there were 12 men in that group that Paul prayed for, that received the Spirit that night or that day. But it was that same church that Jesus had to write a letter to. You see it in the book of Revelation. It said, there's so much right about you. You're so busy and you're doing so many good things, but you've left your first love. And that's the key to revival, to return to our first love and love Him like we did when He first wrapped His arms around us. Jesus, Lord, take me back to that first love. I've gotten so busy so many times, Lord, and my work has crowded out my worship of you. Renew me, Lord.
Oh Lord, please light the fire. Burn bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the saints and angels
they bow. And all the saints and angels bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. Yes, Lord, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. Oh, you deserve the glory. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Just our voices. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We sang this on Sunday. We'll close with this. But you're allowed to linger longer if you want to. Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one for whom you loved, the one for whom you loved and gave your son for humanity. Increase my love and help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. And oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, how you love us. From the homeless to the famous and in between. How you formed us and you made us carefully. 'Cause in the end, we're all your children. Help me. So help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. And oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, let all my life tell of who you are and the wonders of your never-ending love. Oh, let all my life tell of who you are, that you're wonderful and such a good Father. So help me to love with open arms like you do. Erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look, and oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. So help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. And oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, Father, just lift your hands a little bit before you right there. Let me ask God's blessing over you and over me, over us.
Oh, Father, would you walk us through this time, Lord, of renewal in our hearts, God. Would you lead us to a fresh place, Lord? And for some of us, it's going back to that place where we gave you time and we opened your word. And we embraced our brothers and sisters, and we went on outreaches and mission trips and just to the park even to see who was out there that might need Jesus. And oh God, would you fill us with your Spirit? God, I pray that you would fill every hungry, open, receptive heart tonight, Lord, that has simply asked you, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Would you do that, Lord? And then direct us. And Father, through your Spirit, by your Spirit, we want to continue to lift up a sacrifice of praise to you because you are worthy of it all. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your will be done, Lord. Not ours, but yours. In Jesus' amazing name. Amen. So can I go all John on you? Little children, love one another. Love one another. Amen? Hang out as long as you want to. And grace and peace to you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.